Testing 1, 2. Testing. Okay. Testing one.
Okay. It's December 1st, 1981, and this is Doris Dying, field worker. We're talking with John Bowler, who is a sax player. John, let me ask you first. When were you born?
June 23rd, 1938.
And I told you I was going to ask you how did you get started in music? What was your training like?
Actually, I began in high school, the high school band. My band director's name was Raymond Shepherd, and I was in the high school band all through high school.
Mm-hmm. What high school did you go to?
Booker T. Washington. Uh-huh.
Yeah, Raymond Shepherd. Somebody else was telling us about him. He was pretty famous. He was also a band leader.
He was also a musician. He played around the city.
What did he play, do you know?
Played alto sax.
So did you learn sax from him? Did you actually study with him?
No, actually, I began on clarinet. Uh-huh. And then after I went to Tennessee State University, I changed to alto sax. And then I went to tenor sax.
Uh-huh. And that's where you are?
Yeah, that's what I'm playing now.
Were other people in your family musical at all?
Yes, I had an uncle that played trumpet and a cousin that played clarinet. In fact, that's how I got started, because I used his clarinet.
Oh, really?
After he graduated.
Did you borrow it? I mean, did he?
He just let me have it.
And when, like, how old were you when you first started?
I must have been about 14, 15, uh-huh. Something like that.
So, like, you were borrowing his clarinet. Were you able to take it to school with you?
Yes.
To play in the band?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, that's kind of good. Did your mother or father, were they at all musical, or did they encourage you?
They encouraged me, yes. But my father did a little singing, but not professionally. He just, once in a while, you know, he'd sit in with people.
Yeah. What kind of music was it? Like
blues, basically.
Was this the kind of thing? Were you living in Pensacola? Have you lived in Pensacola all your life?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And did your family? How long have your family been living right around here?
I think my father was born here, and my mother was born in Alabama, but they moved here. I don't know how old she was. I guess she must have been about 10 or 11 when she moved here.
Her family moved?
Her family,
before
yes.
Before she ever met your dad, so.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So, like, she came from southern Alabama? Or
yeah.
Yeah.
A little place called Tunnel Springs.
Tunnel Springs?
Tunnel. Like the tunnel, you know. Uh-huh. Tunnel Springs, Alabama.
I don't think I've ever heard of it. I'm not sure where it is. So your family's been like living right in town.
Yes.
They never lived out in the rural area at all.
No. Uh-huh.
Do you have a real big family?
It's kind of big.
And like, do most of the people all live around here too? Or do some of them, like the older people?
Yeah, the older people, you know, basically live here.
One of the things I've been interested in is how widespread in Pensacola the whole jazz and blues tradition was. It seems to me that it's been very, very lively and very, you know, very much a part of the city's life.
Uh-huh.
Oh, for years and years, you know, I mean, going right back to practically back to 1900 and before.
Yes.
Just talking to people. And so it's, what's that?
Go ahead.
I'm all right?
Yeah, I had a question.
Oh, what? Go ahead and ask.
I was going to ask what kind of stuff were you playing when you were first playing? You played in the band, and that was just standard kind of band stuff, Mark.
Yeah, marching band.
And were you playing
symphonic?
Transcriptions and stuff.
Yes.
Were you playing in any smaller groups at the same time?
Not in high school, no.
When did you start getting into jazz? When you went to college?
When I was in college, yes.
Yeah. But were you hearing jazz? I mean,
I was listening.
And...
Oh, yeah.
So you went to
every opportunity that I got, yeah. Plus, I had some friends, you know, that were musicians, and they were playing in bands, you know. But it took me a long time, you know, to build up my nerve to get into it, you know.
What were some of the
plus they were older than I were, you know, more experienced.
What were some of the places they used to play? What were some of the clubs back
then? It was a club called the Savoy. It's now Abe's 506 Club. But they used to have jam sessions there. And they would give me an opportunity to play with them, you know. Just to mess around, you know.
Yeah. What would they hold them like every week or?
Every chance they got, you know, that everybody could show if they had a rhythm section, you know. Mm-hmm. Then we'd meet there and the owner would let us play.
What I was wondering, though, was whether they used to hold the, like, jam sessions, like, at certain times or certain days of the week or something like that, like, during the club's off hours, or...
It was usually in the day when nobody was in there, you know, but musicians. Mm-hmm.
Did they do it, like, on weekdays, or was it mostly...
Weekdays.
Besides the Savoy, were there other places around? Did you ever play at the Royal Club?
Yes.
Because that's been going a pretty long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I played with David Washington there for a while.
But when you were young and going around to places, were people playing over there?
No, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I don't think the club was in existence then.
Were there other places that you remember going?
That was about the only one.
Yeah, I'm just interested because at different times, there have been different clubs. Like back in the 20s, I think there were a whole bunch of them that people mentioned, little tiny places that people used to play around in the city. But then, now you're talking about when in the 40s, right? Or
no,
the early 50s?
Yeah, 50s.
Yeah, because by then, from what I understand, things had really narrowed down to where the Savoy was, you know, was one of the few places in town that you could really still play.
There's not a lot of jazz now, is there? One or two clubs?
Maybe? Right, it's not too many, if any.
We were talking
I think it's one on the beach.
Yeah, Flounders?
It's called the Beach, yeah, Flounders.
What kind of music do they play down there?
Jazz. From what I understand, I've never been there, but from what I understand, you know, it's standard jazz.
Well, where are you playing now?
El Palacio, Mexican restaurant.
And what kind of music? How would you characterize the kind of music that they play over there? That you play?
We play a variety of music over there. We play country, we play jazz. Whatever people request, that's what we play.
Yeah, I was just, we were interested because when we were over there, you know, listening last night, it seemed like that to us, you know, it's like you could never tell what the next tune was going to be. It could be ragtime, it could be country, it could be anything.
It's never just one idiom, you know.
Yeah.
It's a pretty versatile band.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
But you don't really get into jazz very much.
No, unless we have requests for it, you know.
Would you rather be playing jazz?
Yes, in a way.
Why would you rather be playing jazz?
That's my favorite music, really, you know.
Because it gives you more of a chance to do...
Improvise, you know.
Yeah, do you think? Because it really sounded... I could hear that in
my playing.
Mm-hmm, that you sort of like wanted to let loose and do, do things, you know, but it's... It's not always possible.
No, but I take advantage of every opportunity that I can, you know, to keep up on my horn, you know.
But do you remember what the first piece is you ever played?
Long, long ago.
I think it's the same one I played.
Yeah.
Appropriate.
And it was a long time ago, too.
Well, what are some of your favorite jazz pieces that you know, if you had a chance to be playing it regularly, what would you like to be playing?
The name of some tunes that I would like to be playing? Night in Tunisia, The way you look tonight. Billy's bounce, things like that, you know.
Shoot, I wish you were playing with me. That's the stuff I like to play.
Yeah.
Landon plays bass.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. That little 5-piece combo in Jacksonville. Play a lot of swing and standards like that, 1980.
That kind of thing. Yeah.
That'd
be nice.
Yeah, it's fun.
I was going to say, kind of what I'm going to say. Are you able to earn your whole living playing music? I mean, you're able to be a professional musician pretty much like full time?
Now I am, I guess, you know. But
like you don't have to play two jobs, a day job and a night job?
No, because my wife is employed, you know, she's a nurse, and with our two incomes, we're able to survive.
Yeah, I know. Survive is probably about the name.
Right.
It's tough making a living as a musician.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, not too many people usually are able to do that, to get enough work, I mean, to...
Yeah, right. So only since I've been playing at El Palacio have I been able to do that.
You played 6 nights there?
6. Mm-hmm. But basically, I usually would just play on weekends, mm-hmm. and I'd have another job, you know.
Have you ever been in a touring band, toured around?
Not for any length of time. I went on a tour with James and Bobby Purify, a rock band, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's about the extent
of
it.
And where did they go? Did they just be around in this general area?
No, on this tour they went to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Mm-hmm. They toured the Carolinas, you know.
Yeah. One thing I'm interested in, what connection do you have with Harold Andrews? How do you know him?
He was my high school teacher. He taught me biology.
Uh-huh. That's right, because he's one of these people that has two lives.
Yeah.
A day life and a night musical life.
Yeah.
So he was your biology teacher.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Did he also encourage you in music? Did he know about your being in the band at that time?
Yeah, he knew, but we weren't that tight. Then, you know, I was just another student and being in the band, you know.
So you've really gotten to know him probably since...
Since I started playing, you know. Yeah.
And since you were in college and were...
After I came back from college, yeah.
Right. One thing I should ask you, what kind of work did your father do? What was he in?
He was a cook on the L&N dining car, L&N Railroad.
You know, they're doing this centennial celebration for the L&N Railroad. You know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, we don't know much about it either, but we've been... they're going to do something that is going to involve Pensacola and a couple of other of the towns along the... that were along the route in the Panhandle in the spring sometime. I should put some people in touch with you because you're... I don't know, you just might like to know what they're going to do about
it. Yeah, I would like to know.
Yeah, that's interesting. Let's see. Are there any places like that people normally go to? Like, do any jazz musicians now go, for example, to Mobile or as far away as Panama City? Like, how far away do musicians travel these days, or do they?
Well... Yeah, they travel as far as Mobile. I used to, but not anymore.
And yeah, not since you have a baby.
Not since I'm working 6 nights a week, you know.
Are there a lot of other musicians that are your age, you know, that are about your age
that are here?
Yeah, black musicians that are playing now.
Not very many. Like Wally Mercer's son, you know. He's a drummer. He's around.
Yeah.
And
have you ever played with Wally Mercer Sr.? Were you ever in a?
I played gigs with him.
Uh-huh. What was he like? Was he when he came up and sang with the band? You know, that like about a month ago that night that he sang with y'all at the El Palacio.
Uh-huh.
He was really It seemed to me he was sort of really cutting up.
He's basically like that all the time. Yeah.
He was kind of, well, I know he was kind of looping. I mean, he was, when he, even when he came in, into the restaurant, he was already right up there. But, but he was fun to talk to. We enjoyed talking to him. But I know Harold Andrews says, well, you never know what
he's going to do next.
That's right.
That's true.
Do you ever remember listening to him on the radio? He said he used to have a radio show.
Yeah.
Over a couple of different stations, I guess.
Yeah, right.
During the 50s.
Yeah, I used to listen to him on the radio.
What kinds of things did he do? Did he play music mostly, or was it?
Yeah, music mostly. Earl Bostic type tunes, you know. Mm-hmm. A lot of instrumentals. Instrumental music.
Uh-huh. Did you listen to a lot of radio, like when you were coming up?
Yes.
Yeah, because that's another way that people often learn a lot of what they know. They kind of don't remember specifically things, but then when they start thinking about it.
And then my daddy would buy a lot of records all the time, you know. Uh-huh. He was crazy about music, so I was exposed to the records that he bought.
Who do you remember listening to? What kind of stuff when you were young?
Norman Granz, Jazz at the Philharmonic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had that album. I was crazy about that one.
Mm-hmm. Who were some of the, if you had to pick some of the like sax players that were your, were there some that were like idols for you or people that you really wanted to model yourself after?
Oh, a lot of them. Well, my favorite tenor player is John Coltrane. Mm-hmm. And I like Johnny Griffin, Stan Getz, Gene Ammons, Roland Kirk, Sonny Stitts, Sonny Rollins.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Plenty of them. Yeah.
Are there any here in Pensacola that were really, you know, pretty famous sax players?
It was one, but he's not here now. His name was Junior Cook. He played with Horace Silvers a while. He was a friend of mine, and I practiced with him a lot. He taught me a lot. Mm-hmm. But he's in New York now. Mm-hmm. He's playing with different jazz groups.
Was he your same age or like a little?
No, he was older than I was. He was about 3 years older. I was a freshman, and he was a senior in high school.
Because I've heard of him, but I didn't realize that he was from here.
Yeah, he's from here.
Huh. That's neat. That's another thing. There have been a number of really fine jazz players that have either come from here or spent a lot of time here, but then made a name for themselves like in other places.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, well, New Orleans, there were a number of them that went there, and then some also that went to New York or to other mm-hmm. big cities. Do you remember ever hearing traveling bands that would tour coming through here, like that would play at the Savoy or places like that? Like, well, somebody's telling us, for example, like Count Basie used to
come
so often.
Yeah, Count used to come. Duke Ellington used to come through.
Mm-hmm. And they'd play at that Savoy would be where they would.
Yeah, that was the only place that could accommodate them, you know. And I would watch. I was too small to go in, but, you know, me and my friends would look through the window. We'd climb up on buildings and look down in.
Oh, yeah.
And hear him, you know.
How old did you have to be to go in?
I think, 18, I think. But I must have been about 12, something like that.
Did they usually play in did they play up in the Stardust?
Oh, no. Okay, where the ballroom is now, that was where they played, you know. And the entrance was on the Davila Street side.
So you used to climb up where there were like little windows?
Where the Escambia Furniture Company is. Uh-huh. We used to climb up there and look in.
So and no one ever chased you away?
Oh, no.
Oh, that's good. They were glad, maybe glad kids were interested.
They probably didn't even see us.
Oh gosh. Well, are there any questions other that you want to ask, Wander, that you can think of?
I can't talk about anything. I got the playback in my ears about half a second later. I can't hear what I'm saying. Or I can hear it, and it bothers me. Let me see. Well, it's encouraging to know that you're making a living as a musician. That's no question, but it sure is nice to hear. That's real nice.
It's hard.
But it must be kind of frustrating that you don't get to play the music you like all the time.
Sometimes it does.
Yeah. I wouldn't let that drummer sing too much.
He's doing his
John, who is the other? There was another tall black guy, wasn't there, who was playing drums that other night when we were over there, when Betsy and I came.
Playing drums?
I think so. It's a kind of a big guy, kind of heavy set guy.
I can't remember.
I wondered. I didn't know who it was. You know, at the time, I'd never seen him. He was such a big guy that at first we thought he was a bouncer for the bar, and then he
plays the organ.
Yeah. Okay. The organ.
Yeah. Okay. It was Al Martin. He's gone now. Uh-huh. He's he had an offer to play an off Broadway musical that a friend of his is writing. So. His friend sent for him, and he left. He's been gone about 2 weeks.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he was good.
Yeah, he was.
Get a bass player. I'm going to fix up that band.
what you need to do is just quit the radio station. Yeah.
I'm playing
come
with
over
them.
Here. Play with the band over here. Right, the El Palacio needs you. Yeah, I well, I'm looking forward to having you be able to be part of this recording. I think that some of the things we're going to be trying to do on it are going to be a little strange. I know that Ida has never been a band leader. You know, she's always been, you know, if you need a pianist, she's
sad,
one of the people.
Sad person.
Right. So it's kind of an about face, and I don't know how it's quite going to work.
It's going to be weird, I think.
It'll be interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot of different styles. She plays a pretty straight kind of style.
Yeah.
I've only heard her play about it twice in my life, you know.
You've never actually played in a band
with her
before now.
No.
Yeah. It's she said she used to play quite a bit with you know, various kinds of big band, you know, jazz, late 30s, during the 40s.
Yeah.
So she's fairly used to doing that. But even so, her style is
pretty
quite
sad.
Different, and she doesn't read music. You know, she plays completely by ear.
Oh, she doesn't? I didn't know.
Yeah. Whereas you do both, right?
Yeah.
Play, you had to learn to read music because of playing in the band, in the
right.
High school band.
Right? Yeah, right. Well, I majored in music in college, you know.
Uh-huh.
So naturally I had to.
Right. But, and then when you improvise, you're doing that without, you know, you don't need music.
No.
To be reading music. To do
what was your major?
Music.
Education?
Instrumental music.
Oh, yeah.
Was
so
it
you
like
played sax and clarinet and flute and all
that? I played clarinet in the marching band. I didn't play sax in college. Not in the band, but, you know, except for...
Outside.
Yeah, you know. We had a jazz band that I played tenor. On-campus band, you know.
Okay.
University band. University. Well, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, like a lab band kind of thing. That's
yeah, right. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. But, so you were playing clarinet still in the marching band.
Yeah, in the concert band.
Mm-hmm.
But then we had a jazz band within the marching band that I played alto sax.
Yeah, it sounds like it must have been a real active time.
It was, yeah. You know, a lot of...
Playing all the time.
A lot of good musicians came from Tennessee State and were there when I was there, like Hank Crawford, you know, he was there
mm-hmm.
when I was there. And we went in the band together, you know, the big band.
Mm-hmm.
I sure never played as much since as I did when I was in college. just playing all the time. It was nice living.
Yeah.
Of course, nobody was paying me too much.
I never pay you too much.
Were you, was it like music ed, or was it like just straight music?
What, which man?
Your major, I mean.
Well, it was music education, really, you know. But it was so that I would become a band director, you know.
Yeah. Because I majored in music too, but where I went, you could major in music history, which is what I did, but then I always did a lot of singing too. That's what I mainly did, singing and piano. And
do you do any teaching now?
No, not now.
Have you done?
Yeah, I taught for 2 years in Dupuniac Springs.
In the schools?
Yeah, in the school system.
You don't do any private teaching?
No.
Have you ever had people say that they would like to learn, like, to play sax with you, just like as a private teacher?
Yes. But until now, I've never had any place to, you know, teach them.
Yeah.
Except unless I would go to their house or something. I didn't want to do that, you know.
It's kind of rough.
Yeah.
Yeah, do you think you might like to do that sometime?
Yeah, that's what I plan to do this far through anytime soon. Teach private lessons, probably get me a nice little building, you know.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like set up a studio?
Yeah, a studio.
Yeah.
I'd like that, you know. After I get tired of playing.
I don't think you're ever going to get tired.
I don't think I'm going to ever get tired.
I never gotten tired of singing. Singing pretty well.
I find the young kids in Jacksonville are more interested in jazz than people a little bit older. I'm talking kids just out of college, 20, 22. Those people I'm playing with mostly, they're most interested in jazz.
Yeah.
People my age, they're all playing rock and roll and country and western. And
yeah, right.
But the young kids, they got a good handle on it. They don't know too many tunes, you know. I got this piano player, he's 22, and I say, let's play My Funny Valentine. He said, I never heard of it.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, it's weird when somebody tell me that.
John, have you ever found that there was much of a problem with being a black musician in this town? You know, how long have bands been integrating? Because I was noticing, like, the Blasio Rules.
No, I've never had a problem. Because, you know, the musicians are always, you know, they're so much different from other people. They don't have any hang-ups, like racial hang-ups. So, but we did get busted one time. When we were young, we were underage, you know. No, we weren't underage. Some of the kids were, but I wasn't, you know. But this Wally Mercer Sr. had a club on LaRue Street, and one night we had a jam session, and it was a lot of white girls and fellas, and the cops didn't like that too much, you know, didn't like us being integrated because everything was supposed to be segregated, so they put us in jail. Well, we didn't have to pay nothing to get out, you know. We got out, I think. Wally Mercer had to pay a fan, you know. They charged that he was serving drinks to minors, and some of them were probably mm-hmm. underage.
What was his club called?
What was the name of it? I can't think of the name of it. It didn't last that long, you know.
Yeah.
They only had it about a year or two, I guess.
When was that? Was it recently?
Oh, no, it was a long time ago. I can't remember what year. In the 60s, something like that. Yeah, 60s.
Was it like on LaRue Street? Was it near on the east side?
No, it was on the west side. It was on LaRue between DeVille and Coyle. It was right around the corner from the 6, 506.
Yeah, so it's not too far from Belmont.
Right around the corner.
That's interesting. He didn't tell. He didn't say anything about that.
He didn't. He probably forgot.
It was so quick. Yeah, that's a. Are people interested in starting clubs anymore? From what you can tell, or is it really kind of something that just has reached a level and things just go along? Like, or do new clubs open up or do new places
no.
play open up?
No. People that get clubs just hang on to them, you know. And one thing is hard for people to get liquor license, you know, yeah. Mm-hmm. Because they only allow you allow so many, unless some club closed, you know. Yeah.
Well, like the El Palacio, how long has that been?
Excuse me. I don't know. I guess at least about 6 or 7 years.
Because it's pretty far out of town. I mean, it's on the northern
edge
of town.
They had a pretty good crowd last night. They really, they like the music. They're really interested.
Yeah, they have a pretty nice crowd every night.
Yeah, we forgot Monday night. We had to sort of look at each other and say, "Don't forget, it's Monday night. A lot of people there.
Yeah,
having a good time."
Are there any other kinds of music that are real popular in addition to the you know the kinds that you all play at El Palacio? Somebody was telling us that there was a reggae band.
A what?
A reggae band. You know what that is?
Reggae band. No,
Jamaican.
What is that? A Jamaican band? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I don't know if they are Jamaican, but they play Jamaican style.
Or like, does anybody ever play like Cuban music or music from the islands, Trinidad or anywhere?
Not that I know of.
And even though this, because I'm interested, because even though this town's like a coast city, you know, port uh-huh. city, that you, there aren't any.
No, I don't know of any.
Uh-huh. Pretty much country western town.
Yeah. Anybody ever play New Orleans style jazz here?
Yeah, Rosie O'Grady's, they have that all the time.
Yeah. It's like a kind of recreation, because that's
probably,
pretty new.
Probably young white kids playing
that. Yeah. They got some elderly dudes in there, that's playing. Yeah. Banjo player, that's it's real good.
It's interesting. Yeah, we saw it.
I can't take that stuff for too long.
Yeah, that's the way I am about country. It was hard for me to adjust to start playing country music.
Yeah.
I never played it before.
Yeah.
It's kind of slow in places, doesn't it?
It's hard for you to figure what to do, I reckon, with a sax.
You don't ever hear a sax in the country. Man. I haven't anyway.
You need to start singing. Some of those forlorn lyrics they got in the song.
Yeah, well, how do you play sax in a country?